The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, September 8th, 2013, for those listening live. And it's whatever time it is in your world if you're listening to the recording. In either case, welcome aboard. So happy to be here today with you and happy for you to be here with me. So just take yourself a deep breath and give yourself a moment to just let go. To be here, to be present, and to let go of anything in your life that might be troublesome, that might be bothering you, that you might be worried about, little pains, little nudgy kinds of feelings, things you're stressed over, any of that. Just breathe and let it go as much as you can. All right, so let's go in, and if any of you out there are listening for the first time, we always begin the program by connecting to ourselves and our divinity, connecting to each other, to connecting to different levels of higher consciousness so that we can create this program together. So I can tap into your energies and the energy of all the other listeners and bring forward what's going to serve the whole group. So, as we do that, you just need to breathe and focus inward. And whatever way works best for you to do each of these steps is quite fine. And the first step is we're opening up to connect with our own mastery, with our own divinity, with our own soul, our higher self, our oversoul, or spirit, or there's so many different terminologies or ways to think about this, but essentially, at the core, this is about connecting with your own power. And so just allow yourself to breathe in and open to experiencing your power more fully. It's not about creating more power. It's about allowing yourself to experience your power more fully. And so for some people, the best way to do that is to focus in their heart center. For other people, they think about the solar plexus chakra as the power chakra. And so that's the place to go. For other people, it's more nebulous, or maybe it's through the crown because spirit or soul is up that direction. Whatever works for you, just let yourself breathe in and open to experiencing this more fully. And there are some people who can feel energy moving really clearly, and that's marvelous. And there are other people who don't quite feel it, and that's okay too. This is about opening the doors. The experience will come. I've worked with people, some of them over the course of years, in various forms of healing and channeling, etc. And they stayed firmly in that category of, I don't really feel energy. And then it opened. Then the door opened. But it opens because we take those steps. So even if you're not feeling anything specifically, let yourself open these intentions, let yourself open to these energies. And if you are feeling it, enjoy. So let's move on to the next level. Knowing, keep this in mind, knowing that that connection that we've opened a little bit more here today is going to remain open at least throughout the time that we are connected in this way. And through what we do, what we talk about, what we explore here, it may open even further as we go along. So just let that be in the background now as we focus in a different way. And this time what we're connecting with is the Mother Earth. And she is our anchor in the physical dimension. And without her, we have no physical reality to be experiencing right now. And she carries a tremendous amount of love and support for each of us. And so that's what we're opening up to. Now, again, for some people, it works best directionally. So they open the chakras in their feet or the root chakra. Other people, it's a little more nebulous, or it's about the whole physical being. So they open up the cells of their skin to make this connection. Whatever works best for you. This connection already exists. We're just opening it to allow the energy to flow more freely, more fully. So set that intention to open and breathe and allow this energy to fill you. All right. And once more, knowing that that connection is going to remain at least this open throughout the time we are here sharing together, we're going to open up again. And this time we're opening up to those beings who are our divine support, our angels, our spirit guides, our teachers, the ascended masters, etc., that we might or are working with. And we're just opening up to receive their love and support more directly, more fully, more freely. And so, again, some people tend to think, that's up, so I'll open the crown or I'll open the third eye. For some people, it's about love and support. Let's open the heart. Whatever works for you, you're opening to receive more love and support from those who are on your spiritual support team. And again, just allow your breathing to keep flowing while this energy fills you. All right. So let's expand this circle or expand into this circle more fully. And what we're going to do now is open up to the connection to this entire Exposing the Masters Within community, all of those who participate with us and co-create with us each week or periodically. We each share an intention to move into the experience of our mastery more fully. And so that shared intention is a mass consciousness that supports each of us individually in moving forward. And so, again, allow yourself to open in whatever way works best for you. And it's about opening to receive that support of the shared intention of coming into mastery, coming into empowerment, coming into self-realization. Marvelous.
Oh.
I will do my best to stay awake through the program today. All right. Let's expand out yet again. And this time, we're going to encompass a larger mass consciousness, the mass consciousness of all the light workers. And that, to me, is defined as the conscious light workers are all those on the planet, all those in body who are consciously choosing to walk this path into mastery, into self-realization, into empowerment. And whether they ever have any connection with this program or not, that is an even larger body of energy for us to tap into and feel supported by. And so just again, allow yourself to open to receive that feeling of support, of that shared intention, of that shared energy of moving into mastery. And allow that to flow into you and fill you. All right, one more layer to go. And this time we're going to expand out to all of humanity. And what are we going to connect with? Well, each person in body, each soul in body right now, I personally believe, as much as we may experience separation from our divinity, there's always a spark. It's kind of like the pilot light in a gas stove. It's always lit. And that spark in each one carries an energy of desire for betterment, desire for improvement, desire for expansion. And that is a huge mass consciousness, because that's in all of us that are in body right now. And it's what keeps us going, and eventually it gets big enough to move us onto the path consciously. And I also believe it works with the Kundalini. It's the core of that, perhaps, but it's the energy that not only supports us, but even propels us on this path toward mastery. And so we're going to connect with that energy in all of humanity. 7, 8, however many billion souls there are. That is a lot of energy. And so just allow yourself to open to receive the support of that shared intention and that shared vision of the possibility of improvement. And open to that and allow that to fill you and flow through you. Wonderful. All right. So, where are we going to go today? Well, I have a few thoughts in mind. We'll see which ones come forward most fully. And what I want to start with today, what feels like the appropriate place to start, is an idea that's been around for ages. Different philosophers and teachers have expressed it in different ways. And artists as well. One of the ancient ways to walk this path started with a simple phrase, know thyself. I think it was perhaps Shakespeare who put it in one of his plays as, to thine own self be true. And to me, those two phrases are very linked together, because as you know yourself, as I know myself, that's what it means. As we come to know ourselves, that's about stepping into our power, stepping into our expression, because it happens automatically. Automatically. The more I know myself, the more I automatically share that. I can't hide it. And so to me, those are two sides of the same coin. Know thyself means be thyself, if you will. Express thyself, which is to thine own self be true. Because as as it was put more recently, I think, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. So the more we know ourselves, the more we have to be ourselves, the more we have to be true to ourselves. And that's an idea that is how I would frame the underlying or true concept of what integrity is. Integrity is not so much living up to your word, although that's an aspect of it. It's expressing yourself as you are, not needing or trying to put on masks, not needing or trying to hide yourself. And again, this goes to why I call this show Exposing the Masters Within, because we need to uncover who we really are. Underneath all the masks, underneath all the shoulds, underneath all the societal and family and religious and social and cultural and educational shoulds. To be a good person, to be a good this, to be a good brother, to be a good son, to be a good mother, to be a good father, to be a good child, to be a good student, to be a good teacher, to be a good whatever. Fill in a role. Those roles tend to come with shoulds. This is what it means to be a good soldier. You have to act this way. To be a good police officer, you have to act this way. etc. And those things are what are in the way of us connecting with that spark of our divinity. Because our divinity doesn't follow those rules. Our divinity is the freedom. Our divinity carries the freedom to choose within the moment whatever is right for us in the moment, to be in empowerment. And that's such a huge concept that to step into mastery, to step into empowerment, is to throw out the rule book, the role book, the shoulds. And it doesn't mean that you step into your power, you go do whatever you want, and that's going to be a bad thing. There's a lot of our culture that is built on what to me is a faulty idea that largely comes out of Christianity, but it might be embedded in the Jewish traditions, I don't know. But it seems to have been taken on wholeheartedly in the Islamic pathway as well. That idea of original sin, whether it's called that or not, but there's something inherently wrong with us. The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. There's something wrong with us. And so we need to be kept in line by all the rules. Because otherwise we would all be raping, pillaging, and plundering all the time. We would treat each other like crap. And now, I don't know about you, but that's not my experience of humanity. In spite of having been molested, in spite of having been strangled and almost killed, in spite of some other experiences that have been fairly unpleasant in my life, I certainly don't carry the view that humanity is darkness and it is only the rules keeping chaos at bay. I believe that at the core, we're all light, and it's the program that there's something wrong with us, layered on top of the experience of being separated from our divinity, from our divine, our experience of our divinity. That is what creates the problems. But this program is about opening up into that mastery. In order to do that, we need to come to know ourselves. Now, last week, for those who were listening, I had them play one of the recordings because I was in a weekend long, 3-day weekend, so 3 days, process of, well, the best thing I can call it is an emotional cleanse, because that's what, how it was given to me. And so I wasn't really in the shape to offer a program last Sunday. And it's still a work in progress. I'm not here to talk about everything that went on last weekend for me, what I was attempting to do and what I was able to do, etc. Other than to say this, if you're listening to this, you're actively enough on a path of opening into your empowerment that you're willing to set aside the time to listen to this, then, and I know there have been several channelings in the last couple months where they have been challenging people to more actively step up and consciously embrace moving toward self-realization, moving toward enlightenment in this lifetime, making that the conscious vision rather than making it being about putting out the next fire. What's the next problem in my life that I need to try and solve? Rather, it's about trying to go underneath those levels of the problems to find the underlying patterns, to find the underlying programs and clean them out to be able to expose the divinity, to be able to expose the mastery. And so I believe that if you're listening to this, you're ready to make that commitment, or you're close to being ready to make that commitment to yourself. And to me, that commitment is where I started. Know thyself. Which is why I brought up what I did last week. What I was doing last weekend instead of being here talking with you. Because that was the next step for me to take in coming to know myself. To go down, not waiting for something to be triggered, but to go into my emotional body and see what I could clear out. It's fall, I know, or getting close to it, but I was doing spring cleaning in my emotional body. That was my intention. And that's kind of an ongoing intention for those who are choosing to do this proactively rather than reactively. Reactively walking this path is waiting for that next spiritual 2x4, waiting for the next spiritual crisis, waiting for the next dark night of the soul, which is not to say if one of those comes up, a crisis or the spiritual 2x4, the dark night of the soul, that you're somehow screwing up and that shouldn't happen. But although that's where a lot of us got onto this path, through one of those, a crisis, spiritual 2x4, and yet, as we come more into our power, it behooves us. I like that word, behooves us. The English teacher in me likes that. It behooves us, if we would do this from a place of greater empowerment, to choose to do it proactively, to choose to move forward consciously, rather than waiting for the next bit of pain to work with. And by all means, work with that when it comes up. But know thyself, that doesn't imply wait around until you're hurting to choose to know yourself. It's know thyself. It's explore who you are consciously. Consciously. That's not about know thyself in relation to others. Although, as many spiritual teachers would say, the world is a mirror. Our relationships are mirrors. The people we know are mirrors. They're reflecting back to us aspects that we can use to see more deeply into ourselves, to know ourselves better. And so that's my guess. If you're listening here, my guess is that you're someone who is either already doing this or ready to step into doing it much more consciously in this way. Much more proactively rather than reactively walking the path. And so with that in mind, I'm going to go back to a piece of exploration that I did a few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago now, I don't know. And share some of it because it made a tremendous impact on me. And if you're listening or listening at all regularly, you know that I'm an avid reader, always have books going. And a lot of them are the kinds of books that are going to cause me to do this know thyself sort of exploration. So a few months ago, I came across a book. And my new favorite bookstore is Goodwill, by the way, but that's a different topic. Came across a book called Do What You Are. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. And it turned out that it was about an assessment that you may have come across. I came across it at least once previously. And the assessment is called the Myers-Briggs something, something, something assessment. And it basically is a way to find out some points about yourself. And there's four different categories. And each category, essentially, you can be one of two things. So it's an exploration to take this test that's going to give you polarized feedback in four different areas. And I'm not going to talk about all four because all four are not the point. I'm going to talk about one, and that is the, I believe it's the first one in terms of when they give you the results. And that's either the introvert or extrovert one. Now, when you hear those terms, think for a moment. What image came to mind for an extrovert? And just notice that. And what image comes to mind in your mind for an introvert? Because that's going to be one of the pieces of what this is about, is that image. Because we have a cultural image of what a happy, healthy, successful person is going to be like. And I would be willing to bet for the great majority of people in this country, the definition is going to be, at least partially, success equals extrovert. And while in some ways that may well be true, it is certainly not universal and it's not automatic. And again, your image may be different. But if you think about that extrovert, what does that term conjure up for you? Well, conjures up for me, or at least it used to before I started reading these other works, conjures up for me someone of supreme self-confidence, the person who is going to own a room that they walk into. There's going to be 30 people there. They're going to know most of them when they walk in, and they're going to know all of them by the time they walk out again. And they're going to be able to talk to them with ease and grace, and they can do the social chit-chat thing, and they can find themselves or feel themselves to be comfortable no matter what the circumstance they're in socially, etc. And they are going to be confident in their own abilities, in their own self-expression, in their own way of going out into the world. I'm not sure exactly where that program got in there for me, but I think it is fairly strong culturally that that's the definition of the introvert or the extrovert. And another piece of that that goes with that extrovert is almost the idea, one of our cultural myths within the American dream is the myth of the so-called self-made man, or now the self-made person, man or woman, who by dint of their own superior skills and grace and effort, they were able to make or carve out their niche and their success in the world. And, you know, think of the explorers, past day explorers, the age of exploration. Forget about the fact of how many natives, cultures, indigenous peoples got killed by those explorers, but they were the ones with the confidence to go out exploring and to head out into the world and see what was there. And thereby we're going to be successful about it. And so that's one image, that image of the extrovert. And there's probably other things that can go into that picture, that general cultural picture. And then we have the image of the introvert. And again, just feel into that word. How does that word feel to you? And what image does it conjure up? Well, almost the first thing that comes to mind for many people, if not all, is going to be the idea of shy. Retiring, not in the sense of people who've finished work, their work life and are retired, but retiring in terms of they're back away from the world. Bookworms, and things like that. People that don't like other people maybe even come into this, for some people, not all necessarily. And, well, a word that I often use for myself, hermits. And people who are awkward speaking, perhaps. People who are not able to speak very well, etc. And not a very flattering picture, that we have in this culture for what it means to be an introvert. And when I did that assessment, the Myers-Briggs assessment, what came back was that I was an introvert. Well, it didn't immediately kick up all this self-judgment. It's not that I hadn't done the test before or gotten that result before. But it got me thinking about it a little bit more. And so, what do you know? Next trip into the Goodwill bookstore, I come across a book called The Introvert Advantage, How to Thrive in an Extrovert World. And I had never really thought about introversion in that way. I'd never really looked at the paradigm or the seeming judgment there between those two polarities of extrovert and introvert. And there were some very interesting things in reading this book and then in looking at a further book called Self-Promotion for Introverts that I've been looking at since then. But a couple of them stand out, and I want to offer them out here, partly for those of you who are introverts, partly for those of you who are extroverts. Because one of the things that happens when we've got these things that are in polarities like this, there often is judgment. And it may be judgment of the other polarity, it may be judgment of our own polarity, but either way, holding on to judgment is not being present with what actually is. It's putting out categories and saying, this is the way this category is. And I certainly desire to not do that with this program or with my teaching or with my individual work with people. What I'm looking to do is to use categories to see general trends and to see what tools are going to apply best depending upon where someone fits. And so in just feeling the cultural aspects, the cultural judgment that is positive for extroverts and generally negative for introverts, there's a few things that we can look at that can help step into freedom. Now, based on some of the things about introverts, I would actually say that it may well be that the majority of people walking the path are introverted. Now, I'm not saying that from a place of judgment. I'm saying that from a description of what introversion actually is. But before I even get there, the first thing I want to talk about, which was news to me, in terms of the introvert versus extrovert, and it's not a competition, but the first thing I want to talk about is they've done scientific studies now looking at people's brains, and although there is a spectrum, so you're either fully an introvert or you're fully an extrovert, it lies on a spectrum. And certainly introverts can act extroverted at times. And there are people who did not know me as a child and who know me as an adult, or even some people perhaps who listen to this program and that's the primary way that they would experience me, might not understand or believe that I'm an introvert. Because I think I speak fairly well, and I certainly speak a lot, and that doesn't fit with that paradigm of the introvert. They're the ones who don't speak up, etc. Well, I had to learn to speak up. Anyway, back to the brain studies. There are actually differences in the brain chemistry and how thoughts flow between extroverts and introverts. And one of the things that does is that extroverts, and this is not intended to be judgmental, some people might hear it that way, but extroverts spend less time thinking before they speak. And in a lot of cases, they're speaking to figure things out. They're speaking to come to a solution if that's the kind of speaking that they're doing. In other words, they're going to talk it through to find out the solution, the options, etc. So one place in which extroverts are great is something like brainstorming. Those kinds of brainstorming sessions where you have multiple people around and they're just throwing out ideas and it's just coming out as fast as it possibly can. An extrovert is going to be awesome at that kind of a thing. Well, introverts, the process is different. And it even, and I don't want to get into all the science, and I'd have to reread the book to figure out the exact science, but part of it is that the extrovert, and please don't quote me on the exact chemistry here, but the extrovert is running more on the system that in the past has been talked about as the fight or flight. In other words, there's more of the energy of if it's not fear, it's excitement. And those two things are pretty similar in terms of body chemistry. And so the extrovert is very focused on the external world and on relationships and on connecting to others. And another distinction they make in here, and I've seen it in other places now, is that an extrovert is going to get energized by personal social interaction. So an extrovert may come home from work, be really exhausted. That's going to be the time when they want to go out and socialize. Let's have a party. Let's go to the bar. And the more the merrier, because it's about that social interaction is how they are getting energized in the world. So, for some of you, these kinds of things may fit very, very well. Introverts, on the other hand, there is actually a difference in how the neurons are wired. What are the pathways? The pathways for thought in the brain are actually longer, literally, physically longer. They go through different areas of the brain as we're thinking things through, and it takes longer to get there in an introvert. It's a different chemistry. It's more related to the opposite of the fight or flight. Introverts get energized by going within, by going in and reading, by sitting down and thinking or playing music or whatever. We are fed by having time by ourselves. And here's another distinction. It's not that introversion automatically means shyness. In fact, shyness is an emotional discomfort around expressing, that just being around other people makes us uncomfortable. The difference is introverts get energetically drained if we spend too much time around others. And again, it's not that this is universal. It's not that introverts can't be social at times. It's about learning how to use that and know that and take care of ourselves so that when we go be social, we don't get overwhelmed and have to shut down. And another piece of this, and this is what I said a moment ago about, it may be that there are more introverts walking the path than extroverts, because extroverts tend to go broad. In other words, they are much more likely to know a little bit about a lot of things, that they can have these conversations about almost any topic perhaps, whereas introverts like to go deep, and introverts prefer to go down, 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 further and further and further and further into a particular topic. For instance, for me, not that I'm necessarily done, but I get one book. It is, you know, Do What You Are, and that gets me onto this pathway. Then I get this book, The Introvert Advantage, and I go further into it. And then I'm seeking to figure out, well, all right, now that I'm stepping more consciously into my awareness that I'm an introvert, how can I honor that and yet move forward in my own process in the best way possible, which for me right now is figuring out how to put my message out there in the world, how to offer what I have to offer in the world in a better way. And so I go to the next book, which is Self-Promotion for Introverts. That's about going deep. I'm going down, getting more and more specific, and doing further research on a particular topic. And one of the things that helps me to be more extroverted is that I have trained myself to be that way. Trained myself. Because I went through. I got sucked in high school by my best friend into trying out for a play. And I guess I'm a good speaker, so I got one of the lead roles, and then that just snowballed. And then I get a degree in education, so I'm up in front of students all the time. And then I go into healing, and I'm doing the spiritual teacher thing and channeling in front of groups and teaching in front of groups. And so the pathway that I have walked has certainly not been an easy one for an introvert in terms of putting myself out there in front of groups. But I've always had, when I've done that, I very quickly, once I started doing the traveling around the channeling and offering my work, I would be on the road for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks at a time. And when I got home, I went into lockdown mode. I shut down. You know, I had a couple of friends I would go have lunch with or talk to or whatever, but I didn't want to be around anyone. I needed that time for myself. I was naturally going into this space of taking care of myself as an introvert without being able to consciously understand that that's what I was doing or why I was doing it. And so that's why I'm bringing this up, because it's an example of that know thyself. You know, maybe you might want to look at this, especially if you're an introvert. There were other things in here that just surprised me. When I first started dating, my first person I really dated at any length at all was my first wife. And I'm guessing she was an extrovert. I don't know. But she was always asking me what I was thinking or what I was feeling. And my response was always nothing. And I never understood that. And I thought later, years later, as I, you know, started doing this kind of work, I realized, well, part of that was because I had shut down my emotional awareness. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to feel the pain. But in this book, it talked about, well, that's how introverts are. We can be asked a question, and it takes a moment. We're not ready to just start talking like the extroverts. It's not there. We have to give it a second to come to the, go through the circuits to get out. To come out. And so a lot of the time, at a conscious level, we're not necessarily aware of what we're thinking. That was just a shock to me. I thought that was some weird, unique, odd thing that I had going on, that there's nothing going on in my head, when in fact it's just that it's going on at deeper levels that I'm not paying attention to. Another piece in here that was a surprise to me. Again, something I always knew until I actually got into, well, the theater realm when I got my master's degree in theater, but especially after that, when I got into healing work, my childhood, my adolescence, my early adulthood, I essentially had one good friend at a time. And that was it. That was it. That's what was safe. One person wasn't going to take all my energy. And one person was the place where I could be who I really was. And that tends to be introverts. Fewer friends, but again, the deeper friendships of really seeking to know the other person as fully as possible. And the friendships that I tend to have tend to be people that, doesn't matter how frequently I talk to them, whenever I talk to them, could be 6 months, could be a week, could be 2 years, it's like we just got off the phone yesterday or an hour ago, And it's back to exploring that great depth, because that's what introverts like to do. Not that all my friends are introverts, but to go down and explore and explore and explore and explore and get to the kernel at the bottom. And extroverts tend to be more that, well, everybody's my friend. What I would call an acquaintance, they would call a friend. You know, I may be friendly with lots of people, but I don't have that many that I'm going to call friends. And so they're just very different ways to be in the world. Not better or worse. They each have their advantages. They each have, you know, to some degree, disadvantages. But this is an example of my own exploration of going further to know myself and how it's helping me. You know, it helped me to let go of some of the self-judgment, I guess, I was holding on to from times in high school or in college when I was always the one over in the corner at the party watching everyone else. And I would get in those small circles that all parties have, and I would be the one listening, and I would throw in one comment here and there perhaps, and that'd be it. And at the time, I threw in a lot of comments that were just, they didn't fit. I was trying to fit in, so I didn't fit in. Spent a lot of time with my face red from embarrassment, which made me even more reticent. That was when the shyness was still going on. And so the more I've come to know this and understand it and move through the healing process and recognize, oh yeah, I shut down my emotions, because I didn't want to deal with the pain. And there's not necessarily a conscious thought all the time, because that's part of how I process as an introvert. Each step, each piece along the way allows me to open more into self-acceptance and self-love, and therefore exposing, sharing myself, knowing myself, and sharing myself. Again, two sides of the same coin. And it's being true to me then. It's not sharing myself necessarily feeling exposed, but it's sharing myself after I've cleared away that feeling of being exposed, that vulnerability. And so partly I wanted to bring this up as something that might help some people, because as I said, there's a lot more in this book, and there's a couple of very clear, one is fairly short, one is a little bit longer, lists that you can look at and questions to ask yourself to know, you know, are you very extroverted? Are you very introverted? Are you somewhat extroverted? Are you extroverted dominant or introverted dominant? And get some tools that can certainly help you if you are introverted to come into more of your power around that. And if you're extroverted, there's a lot of good things in here to deal with the introverts in the world. Now, this book says somewhere between 25 and maybe 33%. So a quarter to a third of the population are introverts. The other book on self-promotion for introverts, that says 50% are introverts. I don't know which is true. I don't know. But those are all based on various scientific studies, those percentages. So different studies will get different answers. But it's fascinating to me that it's partly in the brain chemistry. So anyway, I don't know if any of those descriptions really fit for you, but if they did, who knows? That may help you find a little bit more about yourself, whether you choose to connect with this work, The Introvert Advantage, or not. And so it's time to move on. And before we jump into the channeling, I would like to mention that on Thursday, September 19th, I will be doing the next Gateway Activation. Now, I did those for 2 years, from December 2010 to 2012. They went on hiatus at the solstice in December of last year. And then last month, they had me start them back up again. So we did What did we do? I don't remember. Anyway, we did a gateway last month, and we're going to do another gateway, and that's going to be a gateway activation is going to be on Thursday, September 19th, and that is going to be the gateway of doubt. So we'll be opening up energies, allowing us to use doubt for our own empowerment and to transform the doubt that we have that limits us into doubt that serves us. So if you're interested, join me. Hopefully I will be getting an email out shortly and that will go up on the website, but don't count on that because I'm very slow with those things. So if you're interested, please contact me. Anyway, let's do some toning and do a little bit of channeling here. As always, you just allow your breathing to deepen and that will allow me to do the toning and them to come in and speak to us all. Greetings, dear ones. This is Sobek, come to be with you today. Welcome. Here's what we would offer to you. It has been known by your scientists for some time now that in the womb, after the sperm and the egg come together to create the new physical life that becomes the new human, that there is a flow that is almost a replication, at least seemingly is a replication of the evolution from simple single-celled life up through the reptiles, the amphibians, etc., all the way up through the mammals, through the various things, until you get to that human form. And we would say that that is something for you energetically to consider as you are working on this pathway. Coming to know yourself, coming to empower yourself, coming to discover who you are. That even though each of you is unique, individual. At the same time, there are certain phases that you are going to go through if you are moving to the same destination. And so, it is a very simple tool that we are here to offer you today. A very simple tool. Take it and use it if you see fit. Breathe, dear ones. But the tool is this. You may think of it as a prayer. You may think of it as a request. You may think of it as an intention. And you may phrase it as you would like. You do not have to use the exact words that we are offering here. But what you are requesting, what you are asking for, what you are praying for, what you are intending, what you are choosing is that you are receiving the support, all of the support that is available to you, that is perfectly aligned for where you are individually on your path and for the phase that you are in on your path. Breathe that in. because the path of awakening is cyclical. And it will look unique for you compared to anyone else. And the exact order of the phases may be different for you than anyone else, but every phase you will go through to some degree. And so by honoring that, honoring both the individual and the universal in walking the path, you will come into your empowerment more easily and more quickly. Breathe that in. And know that you are already divinely perfect. Namaste, dear ones. Well, thank you, Sobek. That's a first. If I'm remembering correctly, Sobek is the Egyptian crocodile god. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And it's time for us to complete our time together. So, Doug, you can start those chimes whenever you like. I want to thank each and every one of you for co-creating this here with me today. And know that I cannot do this without you. It would be a different program if every time you're not here. And it would be a different program specifically if you were not here today. So, thank you. Of course, I would always love to hear from you. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like more of. Topics, questions, comments, anything that you want to send my way, I'm happy to receive. I'm not necessarily the best with the emails at getting back out there to you, but I will read it all. So thank you so much. And those things will come into the program as the divine flow brings them. I hope you have a marvelous week. I do intend to be back here same time, same place next week. Much love, my friends, and namaste.